You get this wisdom when you have done everything you know to do and it's not happening. And then instead of complaining, you go to God and say, teach me, open the eyes of my understanding. And then the journey in a real spiritual knowledge begins. And as God begins to open up things unto you, as you sit down with the word, you start seeing those works there. And it shows you that do this. And you start doing it and things begin to happen. And then he gives us two examples. And he says, Abraham, was he not justified when he offered up Isaac? And then it talks about Rahab when she helped the messengers. And God said, I should stop and look at this well. And he said, this is where, on these two examples here, you have everything hinged. James didn't just randomly pick these two, right? What Abraham did represented worship of God, which means that he had said in Genesis, I and my son, all right, we are going up to worship. So what he did when he said I was going to put Isaac on the altar, it was worship of God. Then the second thing, all right, that Rahab did represented helping people that are in need. In other words, she looked around, she saw somebody who had some need and said, I'm going to be the one to help these people, right, particularly household of faith, that are in need in order to get them out of trouble. And God said, it's on these two things. This is what I want to see. When people are going through tests, I want to see them come up and worship me. I want to see them express true worship before me. And then the second is that I want to see that they also go out and help people that I need. Now, if they do these two things, they will prosper. And I said, look, show me. I said, all right, he will show. That's what Jesus was saying. When Satan came and said, all these kingdoms will I give unto you. He said, you will worship only God, and him only shall thou serve. That service, Noble Hay said this once, he said, is service towards humanity. And I agree. You worship God, and you serve. That's what happened in 2 Corinthians, when he said in a deep, all right, great trial, he said, first of all, you gave yourselves unto God. That's worship. And then you gave yourselves unto us by the will of God. That's service. So two things were present. They gave themselves to God, and then they gave themselves, all right, to the apostles according to God's will to help those that were in need. Let me go further and explain this. When God calls for worship, worship is deeper, hear what I'm saying, than you just rejoicing in the outcome, all right, of that particular thing. Okay? Rejoicing that, you know, there's going to be a great outcome here, and God is going to bless us. Worship is deeper than that. That's what James said when he said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due season or lift you up in due season. In other words, in worship, you recognize that that hand is not lifting you at that particular point in time. Hear what I'm saying. You understand that God is in the business of holding you down for a reason. You understand it and you worship him. Let me tell you what I'm saying here. In Hebrews chapter 13, all right, and this is where we miss it, where people, you know, are not circumcised in their heart. You know, when Paul said, look, beware of dogs, people that are without circumcision, whose God is their belly, which means that if things are not going right for them, they're out. If things are going right, if things just touch them, they're out of the game. Look at what Paul said in Hebrews here, chapter 12 here. Let's look at what he says. He says here in Hebrews chapter 12. He said, look, he says verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you are without chastening, God dealeth with you. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son, which means from that time on you endure chastening, God says, all right, you're a mature son, we can deal with you as a son and bring you up into the inheritance. He says, for what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you are without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. He says, furthermore, we have had our fathers of our flesh, which have corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten not after their own pleasure, but he for our profit that may partakers of his holiness or character. So it tells us this, that our fathers in the flesh, they chastened us, which means they wanted to correct something on the inside of us. And we yielded to that correction, which means we gave them reverence. We submitted to the correction. It says, don't you understand that what worship is that you recognize in the midst of that thing that, yes, I'm going to come out and all of this, but I'm going to worship you, God. I recognize there are certain things inside my soul you want to correct. There are certain things about my character. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means we might have a debate with people who are fighting, but that's not the point with me. That's what Paul was saying. He said there was a messenger of Satan that was given to me. He said, yes, he's a messenger of Satan. He said, but look, I saw something in worship. I was being exalted above measure. All right? I saw that pride was coming in. I saw the way I started hanging around with Peter and James. Something had started entering into my heart that was pride. God, he saw that in worship. God wanted to remove that. And when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, in the context of that, you know that God is correcting some certain things in my life here. God, I will just fellowship and worship you over these things, and I'm in submission to you in this. I'm not resisting this. I understand this. I'm going to come out with great substance, but there is a corrective work that you are doing, all right, right on the inside of me. And it says, if you don't take that, and many people start getting offended. You know, that's why people, and look, ask anybody. Ask anybody. You are in authority. You correct somebody, the person goes into a mood and withdraws for 3 weeks. Next time there's promotion, you will not call that person. They can put a broad bag behind. When it's time for promotion, you will say no. You said never. All right? That somebody that can't take correction, all right, doesn't understand that. Are you following what I'm saying there? It says then that person, that's what it says. When it says, but it says illegitimate. They cannot get the inheritance in practical terms. So what happens is that you go before God in worship there, and you worship him. All right? That's what Paul came to. He said, it's a messenger of Satan. He says, but there is a deeper lesson that something was going on. And when you worship God there, you say, God, listen, hold steady. I know there's something. This hand is going to take me up, but I'm going to stay under it. I will worship and sing to you and worship you, all right, and see all the correction you want to do in my soul. Now, I'll use an example. It's secular, but I have to use it, okay? If you're angry, forgive me. Before that, when you're going, just say, Pastor was carnal today, but we just let him go. But, you know, I was watching something once on a program. They were doing some of success, and there was this. So if you don't know what I'm saying, then just ignore it, okay? But this singer, Lionel Richie, if you don't know him, you don't know him. But, okay? And they asked him, and at a point in his life, I mean, in 1984, he sang in the Olympics, he opened the Olympics. He was at the top of his career, pinnacle high. He lost his voice, all right, for 3 years, and he struggled. He said people come and meet him and tell him, you know, you have to find something else to do. He said, what else can I do but sing? If people are telling him all this kind of thing. He said, listen, what got him out of it was that somebody said, I want you to listen to these 12 things. If you listen well to them, you will get out. He said, and he sent him 12 things. When he looked at them, he was his own songs he was singing for other people. He said, listen to what you're saying, right? But he said something. He said, success is lethal. He said, and when I looked at it, after I came out of the crisis, he said, I discovered something. All my friends that were riding the crest as megastars back then, Michael Jackson, Rick James, Whitney Houston, said all of them crashed. The 3 years I was away preserved me from the drugs and everything. Listen, and I was telling my wife this morning, I said, it just came to me. Those three people all died of drug issues. He is still okay, fine. He said, you know what saved him? When he lost his voice and he was out of circulation. God's work in you is deeper than just, do you understand what I'm saying? It's deeper than, you can't just look at this Christianity thing as a bless me thing. There's character development, which means that you are there worshiping him and he will show you that, my, look, you need to go because of the future that you have. You need to go through these things, the future that you have, and you are there worshiping him. And if you come out prematurely from that worship, listen, what you grab will grab you and trap you. Stay there and worship. Every promise you have seen will come to pass. Do you get what I'm saying here? You say, well, I'm a single person. I'm all of that. I don't know whether I'll get mine. Stay there. The man will come. But don't worship God and curse men too. That's what we're saying. Don't start saying that, you know, all men, the men in this church, I don't understand how they are. They're just blind. When you say that, they don't see you. Stop saying that. Are you following what I'm saying here? You can't with one mouth bless God and then curse the very thing you want. I say, I don't see anybody there. Nobody. Those guys, nobody. I say, those guys, relax, stay there and worship. Because when you finally marry, you need character. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right? So stay there in the place of worship. And then the second thing is help people as you are there worshiping. All right? Help people. God will start teaching you. It's beyond just, and that's why it says there that without that reverence, where is it has to happen my way. Are you following what I'm saying here? Nobody must say no to me. They say no to you, the whole place scatters. All right? I've even seen people that, it's because of lack of worship. If you worship, if God takes you through things and you worship, you will know life can go on without you. Everything can go on without you. Are you following what I'm saying? You thought it was revolving around you? It will be a bad day for God to show you that, oh boy, I can continue my business on earth without you. Because you see, people have an overestimation of their self-importance. They're talking like nothing can happen. I say, boy, that's kind of thing. When I meet such people, I always like to teach them because God taught me. So I feel I'm on an assignment to show you that, listen to me, you need to learn this. But let me close with this. So you see David, like we said last week, he went and did what? Worshipped. Listen. This was a man praying. This is what God wants to see. Think about it. Praying and fasting for something. He lost that child. I believe Job, when he entered into worship, inside his heart, God will have shown him, the way I was raising those children was bad. They actually, he might not be able to tell you, I was destroying their lives. This one that I have now is a second chance. Let me do it right. They won't be able to tell you. I said, God, what about David? He said, look at it well. Before David prayed, he didn't get the result. The child died. Before David finished the fast, before he ate to break the fast, he entered into the house of God and worshipped. Which means that he went back to God and did what? Worshipped. Paul said, I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense towards God. That God, on this matter, I thought I would get the contract, I missed it, but you are worthy of worship. There is something in you, that's Christianity now, where we are talking about, no, I'm going to come to church again, I'm going to come again. You know what they should really tell you? Don't come. All right, but we won't say that. But really, it's not our spirits. Don't come. But here's the point. Here's the point about David. So David went in and worshipped, then came out. I said, but what about the love? What love? And all right, he said, think about it. Naturally, you will have said David should have put away Bathsheba. He said, but David understood what he did. Was an act of love to a woman, to protect her. If David put away Bathsheba, David was king. He would have gotten away with it because he's king. After some time, you are king. They will come and bow down before you. They are king. But what will have happened to Bathsheba? Because what do you say? Number one, your own husband was in battle. You went to commit adultery. Number two, your husband died. How can you prove you didn't join David to kill him? So they will have said she killed her husband. Are you following what I'm saying? That's what they will have said. That she organized. She didn't know, but how do you think it will look? Because you're already guilty of one. Adultery, you can't argue that you are not guilty of the second. You can't. They'll say, listen to me, she's the one. And then family members come and say, hey, I always knew that woman. We told him when he was going to marry her. We told him. Do you know how they will have finished her publicly? David must have said to himself, whatever hit I get, let me get it. I'll protect this woman. And went in and brought out Solomon. Even when David was gone, she was still the mother of the king. He saved that woman. It was an act of love. And one of the things is that when people are going through things, they are only thinking about themselves. People really look out of themselves to help people. I'm telling you. You think about it. Maybe next week I'll preach this. You might even know people in this church that have needs. Have you ever prayed for them about it? Or you just know they have needs and you walk up. People you talk to, you might even know that these two, three people don't have jobs. Have you ever one morning woken up and said, God, today, me and you with these people, they must get jobs? People don't pray. I'm telling you, people just go on with life. They interact, they don't pray for people, they don't, you know, they don't really genuinely, you know, all right. I mean, I was watching something on the internet. One young chap went to propose to his girlfriend in the shopping mall. And everybody was there with their phones, you know, this thing can, you know, everybody with cameras taking it. Unfortunately, as he knelt down, the girl said, what's going on with you? And she ran, she left. Everybody was laughing. And they put it there, watch what is going on. Everybody was laughing. One guy just walked up to him and he was there on his knees, couldn't look up. He said, hey, man, get up! Held him, hugged him, and spoke to the guy, let's go. You know, the minute they did that, everybody went quiet. That shows that very few people really stretch out hands to help. Zechariah, look at it next week. That's where prosperity is. He said, you executed judgment. He said, you helped those that were in need. He said, when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, it's because you executed judgment. It's because you showed mercy. It's because you helped those that were in need. All right? He went on there. He said, nobody imagined evil to his brother. Real support that is coming out. Real one. Where people know that, really, not, this is not anything. I'm telling you, pray out. Pray out. You might know people that are going through. You know, people don't, they don't, they will just continue their life. So look at that woman, Rahab. She really, most people will just go on with their life. She looked around and said, look, I'm going to help these chaps. And it's that kind. When it says, through prosperity shall yet my cities be spread abroad, it means through acts of good and kindness will I spread you abroad. Where you genuinely, I'm not talking about fronting, genuinely, all right, are praying for people, genuinely, all right, are supporting people, genuinely are speaking up. Are you following what I'm saying here? For people here. Where you say, this is my friend, all right, I will speak up for this person, genuinely. And I'm telling you this, anybody that falls and then fell after falling, you know why? Nobody was there to pull them up. If somebody went into the life of that person and said, listen, you are not going down because I'm here, and pull that person up, what will happen? Because some people just like to see that somebody has crashed. Are you following what I'm saying? Just like to see that somebody has crashed. So pray and genuinely support people from the heart, and you will see. Look, if everybody here, this is what I'm saying, if everybody here decides, if you decide here, that everybody sitting here in 1 year's time will be where they are supposed to be, they will get there. If everybody commits to the other person to pray for them, do you get what I'm saying here? And you will not imagine any evil against them. And when you finish praying, they drive in a big car, and you won't say that, listen, it's because she's light-skinned, that's why. You get what I'm saying? And you will start saying things like that. But genuinely, are you following what I'm saying? People, everything began to grow. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word, and by the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.